Good evening and welcome to the absolutely last part of Hilchas Borer. We've been learning Hilchas Borer together since Sukkos, and this is shiur number 10. So believe it or not, we had 10 shiurim, that's 60 pages of my notes on, 56 pages of my notes on Hilchas Borer alone. And I want to wish you all a tremendous yashar koach, even though sometimes Borer gets a little bit, tedious. You stuck through it, and yashar koach. The people who are new for the first time tonight, we hope you enjoy it. I was speaking with a friend of mine whose family lives in Brooklyn near Rabbi Yisrael Reisman's shul on Avenue S. And he has conversations with Rabbi Reisman here and there. And Rabbi Reisman told him that he teaches all of Hilchos Shabbos, except he doesn't teach Borer, because Borer is too complicated. So I want the world to know that the women of Washington Heights, even Borer, we could do, we've done. Baruch Hashem, yashar koach, and we'll keep our ears open for new ideas. So if you have new ideas for the next few weeks, please, somebody already sent me one email, but please send me emails, and we'll try to pick something. I don't know if we'll do Hilchos Shabbos, or we'll just take a break, something a little, lighter, and we'll see. But if you have ideas, please let me know. Okay, so let's just review what we did last week. Last week we were talking about, peeling oranges. We said that if you have a little bit of white, that if people eat the white, that's fine. But if there's a lot of white, then you might want to, if you have white, for example, in the middle of the orange, it's not getting in your way of accessing the orange, and it's psola, so you really shouldn't just be pulling it off and removing it, like so many people do. I mentioned my conversation with Rav Schechter that if you want to prepare a fruit platter Shabbos morning before you go to shul, so it's not samach, it's not miyad before the meal, how could you peel? Peeling you're only allowed to do right before the meal. How could you peel the cantaloupe? So Rav Schechter suggested if you cut off part of the flesh of the cantaloupe or the watermelon, so that's not an act of borer, and then you will be able to do that even not samach, not adjacent to the meal. With eggs, you don't really have that, because when you peel eggs, usually you just get the peel. But if you peel eggs in a very messy way, and you take off some of the egg, the white, with the peel, I guess that would also be a solution, and you'd be able to peel your eggs in the morning before you go to shul for the egg salad. Last week we spoke about chicken skin, and even though nobody in this room would ever eat chicken skin in a billion years if you give them $1 trillion, but the rest of the world does eat chicken skin, so we have to figure out if the poskim who all assumed that chicken skin is just chicken and therefore you could just peel, it's just do whatever you want with it because it's just the same thing as chicken, perhaps for the people in this room that wouldn't be the case, and of course you could peel it off like you would peel any other peel off, like a peel of an orange, we wouldn't be concerned with psalz mitoch ochel, because that's the only way you could access the chicken is by peeling off the skin. But you would probably have to, for the people in this room who consider it a terrible thing and would never eat it, so for the people in this room, it would probably be a problem to peel chicken off earlier than the meal, meaning well before the meal. So if you wanted to, let's say, make a nice chicken platter and put it in the fridge for lunch, and you're doing this before you go to shul on Shabbos morning, you would probably not be, people in this room would probably not be able to peel off the chicken skin and put it in the fridge for Shabbos lunch. People not in this room probably would be able to, because it's all one big piece of chicken. Some is skin, some is meat, but it's all chicken to other people who eat everything, and therefore it would not be considered to minim. Then we started the final topic, which was what are the halachas of biyad? Meaning we learned ochel mitoch hapsolas, we learned the requirement of how much time you have in terms of considering meat being considered miyad. Then we spoke about biyad. What is considered using your hands, which is mutter, when you do borer, as opposed to using kalim. And we talked about different types of kalim that a person might be able to use. And we said the kalim that we used in the Mishkan was the sifter that separated the kernels of wheat from the pebbles that had gotten mixed up with the meat. So that would be with the wheat. Those kalim would be the asur d'oraisa, but if you have a kli that's not specifically used to separate, that would only be asur d'rabbanan. Now, the most important thing in terms of kelim was with Moshe Feinstein's tshuva, who asked, what about a fork, a knife, and a spoon? Are those kelim? When I take my coleslaw with a fork, is that used to separate the coleslaw from the juice? We'll talk about slotted spoons in a little while, but Rav Moshe Feinstein says as follows, whenever you're using a kli because you want to keep your hands clean, that's called using your hand. Whenever you want to use a kli, meaning a fork, knife, or a spoon, because you can't reach something, that's called using your hand. When you're using this kli, this fork, knife, or spoon, to assist you in the separation process, meaning because it separates better than your hands separate, that's called using a kli, and that would be a problem. So for example, the post can speak about, and this is a big discussion, we're not going to get into a final psak, what about if you want to skim? If you want to skim the top of, let's say, the post can we're talking about, whenever you boil milk, do you remember when you were kids, you had like hot chocolate with real milk, not just with water? And you would boil up the milk, and there'd be that layer of skin. So could you use a spoon to skim the top off? So there, why are you using a spoon? Because you don't want your hand to get dirty? It's probably going to skim better than your hand. So that's a big discussion among the poskim. We're not going to get into the details. What about a knife when you peel? When I peel an apple, is that knife just so I don't get my hands dirty?
No.
But is the knife being used like a peeler? A peeler, if we assume that you can't, let's not talk about an apple because that's a little more complicated, because apple skin might be just regular food. Let's talk about a carrot skin. When I peel with a carrot skin, I'm using a peeler because it's a tool to separate. It's a tool to separate the peel from the carrot, and that will be awesome. What about a knife? A knife? Am I using the knife to keep my hands clean? Carrots aren't dirty. Am I using it because I can't reach? I'm holding the carrot. Here also, it will be mutter to use a knife, says Rav Moshe, because the knife is not doing the separation. The knife is just assisting you because your hands don't do cutting. Your hands don't cut. Cutting is not borer. Getting that cut at the right place, on the right underneath the surface of the skin, but on top of the flesh of the carrot, that's what borer is. That's what a peeler does. It gets the exact, you know, whatever, 0.7 millimeters of the top layer. That's what a borer tool does. That's what a peeler would do. But that's not what a knife does. A knife just cuts. It cuts better. Your hand can't cut so well. Usually a knife helps you. It doesn't do the act of borer. Your hands that are maneuvering the knife are really, and getting the knife wherever it has to be, that's doing the borer. It's your hand. And therefore a knife will be okay. A knife will not be considered in that regard as a kli that would be usur. Then, we spoke last week about using a pot lid. When I pour out a pot to drain out the water from the noodles, for example, or the water from the hard-boiled eggs that I boiled before Shabbos, can I hold the pot lid there to hold back the stuff, the noodles that I want, or the eggs that I want to keep? So Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote that, yes, the pot lid is considered a kli, because you're holding the kli in such a way to strain out the water, just like a strainer. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein does give us two coolers when we pour out things from a pot, and those are that if when I'm pouring things out, let's say I'm pouring out noodles, I can use the lid to hold the noodles back if I let some noodles slip out. Let's say I have 374 noodles, and I let those four noodles slip out, so I'll lose four, but I got to strain the rest of the 370. That would be mutter, even though you're using a kli, but that's not called borer, because you're not separating alcha from solas. You're letting out water with noodles. And that's an important heter. The second heter, let's leave it for that, for now. This was a chumrah that we, and this actually, last Shabbos, I realized how hard this is. Using a spoon, let's say you're taking out coleslaw or you're taking out salad from the salad bowl. I'll tell what happened to me. It was Shalosh Shudas this past week, and we had green beans. Green beans in a soy sauce. And the soy sauce was, soy has a strong, you know, it has a strong pungent kind of flavor. So I didn't want too much soy sauce, I just wanted the green beans. So I realized that I was taking the green beans with my spoon and sort of touching the spoon to the side of the pan so that the soy sauce would, the dressing would sort of drip off. That's exactly this case that is not so great for me to do. That might be considered, it's not clear that it's usur, but that might also be a problem in terms of borer with a kli, I'm using a kli, meaning the combination of the spoon with the wall. That combination is a kli that's being used to separate between the green beans and the soy sauce, the dressing, or the salad and the dressing, or the coleslaw and the dressing, and that could be a problem. Hold on. Similarly, we mentioned in terms of kalim, I'm going to finish, I don't know, when we talked about kalim, we suggested that an apple corer is a big machlokas, because when you core out the apple into the core, you're also taking part of the flesh, which is, yes, edible, so therefore it's machlokas, but the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa is machmir, nevertheless, that even though there is some good apple being taken out with the core, nevertheless, it's still an instrument that's defined to take out psolas, and a korer should not be used l'chatchila. And we finally finished last week with something that is very important, that is also a huge discussion, which we're not going to go into detail, but the tea bag itself, is that considered a kli that's separating, that's being borer between the water or the tea liquid, and the leaves, which you do not want. So it's holding back the tea leaves, which you don't want to let out the water. So we suggested that I should not, if I have my tea, if I lift up my tea bag and let it dangle over the tea such that the water drips out, I am effectively using a kli to separate between the water that I want to go back, the red water or the green, whatever color my herbal tea might be, or brown, and the tea leaves that are being contained inside. So even if it's ochel mitoch hapsolas, let's say, the stuff that is ochel is dripping out, that's what I want. And I'm doing it right before I drink, but it's using a kli. And that's a problem. Don't let it dangle over. However, the poskim say that if you just, moving it from here to there, you don't have to be worried, because nothing's happening. Like, you're not doing anything intentionally to be borer. It's just, don't intentionally have the tea bag dangling over your tea. It is better, though, when you do take a tea bag out of a cup of tea, to take it out with some of the liquid, so that you won't be even in the shaila of separating the liquid from the tea leaves. So if you take the tea bag out with a spoon, you're scooping both out together. You're not separating between the two components of the taroves. You're just taking both out together. That would be l'chatchila. That was all last week, and now we have a question. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're asking a very good question. If you have string beans in a soy sauce, is that considered a mixture? Because the string beans, I think the string beans are pretty small. They're stringy, as their name indicates. My son told me tonight, my 3-year-old said, "Ah, Abba, I figured out why green beans are called..." I said, "Abba, I figured out why green beans are green beans." Why? Because they're green and they're beans. And he was very proud of himself. So string beans are stringy. And stringy, I think, indicates that they're not hefty, they're stringy. And that would, I don't think they're so big, chunky, like a pickle, I could hear. A pickle in liquid, that's string beans in the liquid, I think that might be more of a taro of this.
Okay, and then also, let's say you use a fork instead of a spoon just because you think it's going to serve.
So I stick in my fork, and I... So we'll get to there soon. Okay. You tell me. We learned in the first or second week that there's no borer within 1 min. I mean, if I have all salmon, I could separate big pieces from small pieces. If I have all green apples, I could separate one green apple from another green apple. So if I have all one big, they do it with, what do they do that with? With like turnips? What do they do that with? Or carrot? When do you want to have shavings of a vegetable? What?
Chocolate.
Yeah, chocolate is a great idea. So chocolate, what are you doing? You're separating the outer layer from the inner layer. That's all in 1 min. There are no halachas of borer. And therefore, the only problem that would be is muktzah. However, I don't think it would be muktzah because it's klishim lach. Even if it would be a klishim lach to le'isr, it's a tzarech kufa, so it would be mutter. Okay. We have a lot to do because we have to finish everything tonight, so we're going to be a little bit less on the questions tonight. Let's go to the next application of using a kli in hilchas borer. And this is something that you first saw when you went to seminary, if you did go to seminary, and you, of course, learned that it's usur when you went to seminary, and that is salt shakers with rice inside, which we don't do in America because it's not so humid. But in Eretz Yisrael, where it's humid, we have rice inside our salt shakers to absorb the moisture. And then what you have a salt shaker head that has little tiny holes that lets out the, let me use a different word, that strains the salt out and keeps in the rice, the big things of rice. So it's very nice that you're getting the ochel, you're getting the rice, not the psolis. I'm sorry, you're getting the salt, which is what you want. You don't want the rice, the raw rice in your soup, you want the salt in your soup. It's very nice that you're doing it right as you're eating, but you're using a kli, so it's aser, right? That's what you're all taught when you're in Israel. I will have you know that that's half true. It is true that Moshe Feinstein and Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, Chelek Paragimel, Halacha Samach Vav, 366, does say that a salt shaker with rice in it is a problem borer. You should just know that Rebbe Yashiv, who in general is known as a big machmir, Rebbe Yashiv is makel and says it's mutar lichat chila to use that salt shaker on Shabbos. Because what's the purpose of the holes in the top of a salt shaker? Wait a second. I live in America. We don't have such humidity. We don't have rice in our salt shakers. And I still have holes on the top of my salt shaker. Do you have holes on top of your salt shaker? It must be that the holes on top of the salt shaker are not there to separate between rice and salt. So how could you be accusing this salt shaker of being a tool of separation when that's not why those holes are there? They're not there to separate between rice and salt. The top of a salt shaker has holes to let salt out in small quantities. And therefore, says Rebbe Yashiv, you're not using a tool of separation. There's no... The point of those holes are not to separate whatsoever, and therefore Ilyashiv is matir lechatchila. So if you want to be machmir for yourselves and not use these salt shakers, all the power to you. If you have family members, relatives, parents, siblings, friends who use salt shakers with rice on Shabbos, you should keep your mouths closed, because there's nothing wrong with that, according to Ilyashiv. Next topic is very important. I think we started with it, we mentioned it, or we brought it up last week, and I did a little bit of research. What happens when I have a can of peas? Or a can of kernels of corn? Or a can of... what else? Olives. Right, olives. Jar of olives. Not a can, but a jar of olives. And I don't want the liquid. So, I'm going to take my... Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehyeh Bidvaro. I have my jar of olives, and I don't want the liquid, so I'm going to pour off the liquid, right? Pour it off the liquid. So what did I do? I got rid of what I didn't want. Let's assume that way. So I got rid of what I didn't want. Is that okay? Let's say that's not okay. Let's say it's going to be a problem because I'm pouring out what I don't want. The reason why I'm thinking is because you could really look at what I just did in two ways. Did I pour out what I didn't want? Or did I use this can to keep in the olives that I do want? That's sort of what I was confused about. I'm not sure if you're getting rid of the ochel or keeping in, getting rid of the psolos or keeping in the ochel. It's actually a big machlokas in the achronim, and I don't really know how we pass in that swipe, but forget what I just said. Okay, so you have your can of olives or your corn, and you want to get rid of the liquid. So I have a solution. I have a solution. The solution will be, is as you're pouring out the corn or the olives, let one of the olives fall overboard. Olive overboard. Let one of the few kernels of corn fall overboard. You'll lose a few kernels of corn, but you'll have the rest of your, you'll have the rest of your can all strained out from the liquid, and you'll be able to eat it without a problem. Of course, if you just want to take the spoon out the kernels of corn or the olives or the peas and take them, then you have no problem because you're taking out the ochel from the psolas. That will definitely be okay. But if you want to just do it the easier way, which is pouring it out, so pour in such a way that one of the pieces of ochel falls out. Hold on for a moment, please. Now, the Mishnah Berurah writes that when I do this kind of pouring, when I do this kind of, let's talk about the following scenario. Let's say I do want the liquid. What's the case where there's liquid and solid and I do want the liquid? Let's talk about a pot of soup, right? A pot of soup with vegetables. My kids detest vegetables. So what do they want? They just want the broth. So there, could I tip the, I think we mentioned it in passing in the past week or two, could I tip the pot over so that just the consomme falls out, which is what I do want. It's going to be ochem v'toch ha'psolas. And it's going to hold in, the walls of the pot will hold in the vegetables. It's not like straining the noodles, because there I don't want the water. Here I'm talking about a case where I do want that broth that comes out. I'm going to pour the broth straight into my son's bowl, and I'm going to give it to him to eat. So there, what's happening? I'm doing ochem v'toch ha'psolas. I'm doing it miyad, but is that using the wall of the rim of the pot as a separator, as a kli, as a tool of separation? So here, the Shulchan Aruch says clearly in Siman Shin Yud Tes, in the Mishnah Brura, in Shin Yud Tes and in Hay, says that when you pour from one kli to another kli, when you're using a rim to hold back stuff, to let liquid out, that's not called using a kli. Why not? So I saw a very nice language that Rabbi Ribiat used. He says, because what's really happening is the rim is not being a separator. What's doing the separator, your hands are manipulating the rim to help you hold stuff back, but it's your hands that's, you know, that's adjusting the level of, what the equilibrium level of the liquid is, and if you tilt it too far or not too far, that's all based on how your hands move, and therefore you're just manipulating, your hands are manipulating the rim, but the rim itself is not doing the separation. I just like the way he said that. And therefore, it will be permitted that it will be permitted lichatchila to pour off the consommé from the soup, and we don't consider the rim of the pot to be a kli, which would have made it aser. The Mishnah Brura talks about the following scenario, and I think we mentioned this in passing a few weeks ago. Remember when we were talking about warming up chicken on Shabbos morning, and we talked about having the gravy there? So what happens if I have gravy, and right on top of the gravy, let's say it's liquid, I have a layer of fat or oil. So I want to pour off that oil. So there, of course, if I pour off the oil that I don't want, so I'm not worried that the pan is considered a kli and I'm separating with a kli. We just said that's okay. There's a different issue. I'm pouring off the stuff that I don't want. I'm pouring off the psolas. I don't want the oil. You see, even in the Mishnah Brura's time, they didn't want to eat, they only wanted gravy, they didn't want oil. Okay, it's not just us. Even in the Mishnah Brura's time, well, it's not so long ago. Lived in the 20s. So says the Mishnah Brura, the teens, says the Mishnah Brura, you cannot pour off the oil from your pan. But he says, let's say you want it, but you can't. So he suggests pour off the oil with a little bit of the gravy. Because then what are you doing? You're not separating between A and B. You're just pouring off lots of oil and a little bit of gravy. You're pouring everything that you have. And of course, the majority of the gravy will stay in, and that will be mutter lechatchila. I want to come to a discussion that we had a few weeks ago. I want to share with you the kulas that Moshe Feinstein provides. I have to say, I don't really understand it. I'm not fully clear on it. I was working on it this afternoon, and I was very torn up about it. But I'll share it with you, because Moshe Feinstein said it, and they're kulas, and it's important to have kulas. So Moshe Feinstein was asked three questions by Rav Shimon Eider. Rav Shimon Eider, a graduate of Yeshiva University, moved to Lakewood, and lived in Lakewood for the last decades of his life, next door to a friend of my wife's. And Rav Shimon Eider was the first person to write one of those very practical English halacha books, which now are a dime a dozen. He was the first person to do that, period. And he did a great job, actually, in Hilchus, when he did Hilchus Shabbos, he did other areas of Halacha. So in his Halachas of Shabbos, right, he could get that title because he's the first one who did it. So Hilchus Shabbos, the Halachas of Shabbos, that's the name of his Sefer. It's an English book, and it's not even in, it's like in typewriter font, because I guess that's what he used. He asked Rav Moshe three questions, all the same question. Do you remember when you were little, your mother bought gefilte fish with the jelly in the jar? Maybe she still does. Not the you don't cook it in the loaf pan, the one that you buy in the jar. So he said, could you use the lid of the jar to pour off the jelly, the gel, and be left with a gefilte fish? That's A. Secondly, tuna fish. That was a question that we discussed. Could you hold the lid on top of your tuna fish can and pour off the oil? And he had a third aspect, which I don't remember. These are the important ones for us. So can you use the lid to hold back? I want to hold in what I do want. I want to hold in the gefilte fish or the tuna, and I want to let out the stuff on the bottom. I think the third question was soup. Could I use the lid of a pot to hold back the vegetables and let out the soup? So Rav Moshe Feinstein says that, again, I can't say I understand this, but I'll tell you what he says. Rav Moshe Feinstein seems to say that you are permitted to hold the lid on top of a can of tuna, a jar of gefilte fish, as long as the liquid that's flowing out is flowing. So if you take that can of tuna fish, you hold it over the sink, and you see, and then it starts, hey, that's mutter. The second it starts to turn into more like a drip, you have to stop before that point. In other words, you're not going to be able to get every last gram of oil out of your tuna fish. Well, you probably don't buy the tuna fish in oil anyway, it's in the water, so Baruch Hashem. But even the water, you're not going to be able to get every gram of water out of your tuna fish. You'll be able to get 70% out, maybe even 80% out, and you can even use the lid of your can. I think the reason why is because he understands that whatever just pours out quickly was not even ma'uriv in the first place. If you remember, we mentioned about 3 weeks ago that if I have a tall pot, a pot let's say 6 inches high, the top 4 inches are pure consomme, pure broth, and then on the bottom 2 inches there's like the noodles. So if you pour off the top, those top 4 inches, there's no tarovis there. The tarovis is only in the bottom 2 inches where there's the mixture of the broth with the noodles. But the top part, which is all liquid, that's not even a tarovis, it's not a mixture. I think that's the logic behind this kula of Rav Moshe, that whatever you're going to pour, and it pours, you know, in a flash, in a stream, that wasn't even uruv mixed together with the tuna fish or the gefilte fish. But once it starts to trickle, that would be the best word, to trickle, which is even more than a drop, trickle, that already is the part that is, you know, connected or in the same environs as the tuna fish or as the gefilte fish, and that would be, that's the point that you have to stop. And therefore, according to this, Moshe would be saying that let's say I have a lid on top of my vegetable soup, and I want to hold back the vegetables, I can hold the lid. Not like what we said before. Before we said that the lid is considered a kli. Here Moshe is saying that the lid would be okay as long as the water from the soup is flowing. Once it starts to trickle, I have to stop. Meaning right before that point. You could sort of experiment, and I think it'll be pretty evident once you do it yourselves. That is the kula of Moshe. Any questions about this? This, I think, is very important. Kula because it was on our minds for a long time. That's a different solution. That is correct. That would be a second solution. Thank you. A second solution. I even had that in my notes as a second solution. You could allow some of your, with tuna fish, I don't know if a little bit will fall out, but if a little bit of tuna falls out while you're getting everything out, that would be fine. I mean, if you're letting it trickle, and as it's trickling and dripping and dripping and dripping and dripping, little bits of tuna fish are falling out, that would be totally fine. Will that really happen? I'm not sure. With the vegetables in the soup, that will happen. And therefore, if you want to really get all the liquid out of your soup pot and leave all the vegetables inside, just you could do that, as long as you're going to let a few of the vegetables drip, you know, fall out. Meaning you want to leave some, if you leave some of the liquid in, that will also not be an active borer. That's complicated. It's a good question. Sometimes yes, sometimes it's a little bit complicated. I think if you don't use a kli, it's okay. If you do use a kli, if it's a problem, I'm not sure. Not for now. Okay, moving on. Let's discuss slotted spoons. So I think we brought it up last week that slotted spoons are a classic, I mean, that's a separation tool. Why do you use a slotted spoon, not a regular spoon? Because you want to let the liquid, the heavy dressing on the coleslaw out, and take the coleslaw, the leaves, with moist leaves, I hope, to your plate. So can you use it on Shabbos? So I will tell you that, I don't know if any of you have heard of Rabbi Ben Zion Abba Shaul, like after Rav Avadia Yosef, he was the number two Sephardi Posek in the last generation. He was Nifter a number of years ago. He is, I think, the Rosh Yeshiva Prat Yosef, which is right next to Yeshivat HaKotel. They have the even better location. They're even closer than Yeshivat HaKotel, which is the second Yeshiva up the... Yeshivat HaKotel is on top of the steps. Prat Yosef is on the bottom of the steps. So Rabbi Ben Zion Abba Shaul, in his Shas V'Tshuva's Or L'Tzion, actually says that it is muta lechatchila to you just go ahead and use a slotted spoon, period. And the reason that he gives is he combines a number of different rationales. One of them is an interesting thought. If you want to listen, you could listen. If you don't want to listen, just tune out now. It's a good place to tune out for 30 seconds. He says, when you lift up a slotted spoon and all the dressing drips down, so what did you just do? Did you separate the psolas? He says, no, you took the ochel, which I think is not the way I would have thought about using a slotted spoon, because usually we think of it, oh, you're using a slotted spoon to get rid of the liquid. This is how we think, that you're getting rid of the liquid. He said, no, that's not what you're doing. Okay, he has some other reasons. He said, perhaps maybe that there's no, he remember we discussed many weeks ago that maybe liquids and solids aren't considered a taroves? There was a Sephardi posik who said that. We don't follow that. But there was a Sephardi posik who said that. Well, he's Sephardi. He could combine that sheet of that Sephardi posik, the Mahari Tatz it was. Mahari Tatz was of the opinion that liquids and solids never are considered a tarovis. So what's happening when you have your slotted spoon? The liquids are leaving? Who cares? Liquids and solids are never combined. You could take all the liquids out that you want. That's not a tarovis. So anyway, he comes out that it is mudah lechatchila to use a slotted spoon however you want. My friends, most of us, for better or for worse, are Ashkenazim. And all the Ashkenazis, poskim, svarim that I've seen, discourage, I don't think they'll call it an issur d'oraisa, but they all discourage the use of slotted spoons on Shabbos. We raised the question last week, I think, either Aliza or Rina. Aliza, you asked this question, right? About what happens if you're just using a slotted spoon, not because it's slotted, just because it's a spoon. It just, let's say it's even the last spoon in your drawer. So you need another spoon for one more dish to take the, you know, instead of putting it in the, you know, the broccoli cook, it would happen to go into the coleslaw. So now, can you use that slotted spoon? It is going to be straining some of the liquids out, but that wasn't your intention. It just ended up being that way. So here, I think it would be like the following scenario. The Shulchan Aruch talks about the following situation. You remember we talked about how they did Borer in the Mishkan? They had their kernels of wheat on the floor next to the pebbles and dirt. They picked up the mixture in their hand, and they dropped it into a sifter. And then you shake the sifter, and all the pebbles, I don't remember which goes, I assume the pebbles fall down and the kernels stay on top. I assume that's what happens as opposed to vice versa. Says the Shulchan Aruch, that's only when you're shaking the sifter, but if you just put something in the sifter and it happens to fall by itself, that's not considered borer. You hear that? If you put something in a sifter and it just by itself got separated, you didn't intend to do the borer process, it just ended up happening, meaning I needed to carry my kernels from here to there, my jelly beans from here to there, it happens to be they were mixed up with some pebbles. So I just put it in this sifter, and because I didn't have a plate, I carried it somewhere else. It sounds like if you're not trying to actually separate, you're not shaking it to separate, that would be okay. According to that logic, I think we could say a slotted spoon is the same thing. If I'm using a slotted spoon, not to separate, not to borer, not to strain, not to drain, not to get rid of the liquid, just a spoon like I always spoon. It happens to be that it's going to drain something. I think, since my intention wasn't at all, there's no kavana at all to do any borer act, that would probably be mutter. And therefore, at least the answer to your question would be that if you have no other spoon, you can use that spoon for the coleslaw. But there are some questions that's presumably what the halacha is. There is discussion about it, but I think it would be mutter. Halacha l'maaseh, I think it would be mutter that you can, if you have only a slotted spoon left, you can use that slotted spoon for the coleslaw, for the green beans with soy sauce. I think that would be mutter, as long as your intention wasn't to. And also, as you're lifting things up, make sure that you're not, you don't have any intention to actually. I mean, if you're going to lift up those string beans and wait for, you know, a fraction of a second for the liquid to drain, for the soy sauce to drain out, that would be a problem, because then your intention is to do a berah. Berah, yes. You're saying that, why am I talking just about a slotted spoon? Sometimes I use a fork, instead of forking things, I sometimes lift them up like a forklift, such that the liquid drains through them. Naturally. I think that would be the same as a slotted spoon, yes. I think so. In general, that is correct. If you're doing something and there's no intention of doing any act of separation, it just ends up happening. I'm just scared. I have to give parameters for that. I don't have time for that. But theoretically, yes, that's correct. If you're doing an act, it just ends up something got separated, but there was no intention, no thought, no goal in separation, that is not considered bara. A 1,000%. 1,000%. The only time that there's even a question if you could or can't use a slotted spoon is when there would be a liquid that would be drained out. If it's a solid, nothing. It's always totally fine. Yeah.
Even if there's no intention to separate, isn't it still?
That's a great question. I don't want to go into that. Great question. Yes, they talk about your question. Okay. Do any of you here have a lettuce dryer? A lettuce spinner? Let's think about what you're doing. You have a mixture of water and lettuce, and you have a tool that zoom, zoom, zooms, and the centrifugal force of the circular motion shoots the water off at a 90 degree angle to any point where it's on the leaf of lettuce, and it shoots off, and your lettuce ends up drying. So what are you just doing? You're taking the water that you don't want off of a mixture of water and lettuce using a tool. That sounds pretty awesome, doesn't it? Who does use a lettuce spinner on Shabbos? It's okay if you do, because it is mutter. Why is it mutter? A number of reasons. First of all, everybody eats wet lettuce. It's true that when you make a salad, it does come out better and it does last longer if it's dry. But everybody in the world eats wet lettuce, and it's just like everyone who in the olden days ate chicken and it was all one meichel, it's all one food, just like people take a bite of an apple with its peel, and in the olden days people took a bite of chicken with its skin. People eat water with the lettuce with the water on top, and it's not even two different foods. Secondly, there are other indications that you're allowed to squeeze vegetables to get liquid out, whatever the cases are, and therefore halacha l'maaseh, it is mutter l'chatchila to use a lettuce spinner on Shabbos. You could tell your mother, if she did buy one, and put it away, because you told her that she has to put it away. Once you started coming to the Baruch, she and we got up to Biyad 2 weeks ago, you could tell her she could take it out. Now, we are up to the very last topic of all of Hilchos Baruch. And I will have you know that I spent many, many hours working on the next 10 minutes of what I'm going to share with you. Friday night, I'll tell you what happened. Friday night, Friday morning, my wife went to the farmer's market in Tinek on the way home from school, where she works, and she bought grapes. And we were about to have grapes for dessert. And I was up to the sugya that I'm teaching right now in Borer, is the sugya that we'll talk about washing fruit. So I don't know if I said something or she said something, and I said, it happened to be that, like, right before she was about to do this, I saw somebody mention the word grapes in the poskim. I said, you know what, Nava, let's... Anyway, so Friday night, I sat down there at my dining room table for hours with svarim all around me, just trying to figure out if I could wash the grapes on Friday night. It sounds simple. We'll see that it might be simple, might not be simple. But now, you should just know, I left them there because I didn't want to have to find the pages the next day. I went to sleep. My wife had a bad cough Friday night. She got up and she went to the dining room. She saw the dining room table with six farm open. She's like, oh, that's so nice. So, Thank you for letting her have some nachas. So the story starts like this. There is a Mishnah, not a Gemara, Mishnah in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Mem that says, Ein sholin et hakarshinim. You're not allowed to soak, I guess, the karshinim. Karshinim are like grits. It's basically coarse kernels of grains that you feed the animals. And these, it was pretty much animal food, so a lot of times there was some dirt that got mixed up with it. Some dirt or some straw or some other impurities. So the way they would separate them is they'd just put it in water. You know when you sort of, some people when they, before they make chalent, they'll sort of soak the beans and they'll notice all kinds of things floating to the top, hopefully not things with legs. So that's what they did in the olden days. Sometimes the goal would be that the stuff that was, the garbage would float to the top. Sometimes the food would be floating and the garbage, the pebbles, like pebbles, for example, would float to the bottom. That's called Shorin Es HaKarshinim. And that's Aser, clearly an explicit Mishnah. Okay? And continues the Mishnah, you're not allowed to rub them either to remove the dirt from them. That's because of Borer. The Shulchan Aruch brings this halacha. And on that, the Mishnah Berurah says the following. Not just Karshinim, but so too, whenever you have Psolas and Ocha mixed together, you're not allowed to put them in water so that the psolas will fall to the bottom, nor so that the psolas will float to the top. It's aser, clearly without any heter, to soak your food such that the garbage will either float to the top or sink to the bottom. Continues the Mishnah Berurah. And so too, tapuchei adama, lo yitein aleihem mayim, kedei lahasir ha'avak v'ha'afar me'aleihem. So too, potatoes, you're not allowed to put, I'll say the words carefully, don't put water on them to remove the dirt and the dust from on them. So that means there's a vegetable, fruit vegetable, and when you're putting water onto this fruit or vegetable, what are you doing? You are separating the garbage from the vegetable. And in fact, I will have you know, if we stop right here, the Chazon Ish does paskin that one is not permitted to rinse off fruits and vegetables on Shabbos. Why? Because it's an explicit Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you can't soak, you can't have water being with vegetables because you're getting rid of all the dirt. That dirt is stuck. It's stuck on. It's not exactly stuck on. All that pesticides that you're trying to get off. What do you mean that pesticide? You remember we talked about the little tab, a little piece of paper on the challah, and we said that that's mehuruv, right? That connection where that little sticker of angels is stuck onto the challah at that point of juncture, there is a tarovis of the sticker or the glue and the challah. So you should sort of cut a little piece off. Well, when you have a whole something rather, an apple that's coated with this toxic, poisonous, who knows where carcinogenic pesticides, that's no different, I think, than that little tab, except the little tab or sticker was in a small part. The pesticide is trying to kill you on the whole apple. Therefore, the Chazon Ish says, you're not allowed to rinse off fruits and vegetables on Shabbos. And certainly, if there's real dirt on them, not just the pesticides, if you see dirt, you know, for example, even in the most, you know, did it ever happen to you that you're eating a peach outside, and a peach falls on the ground. So you pick it up, it's full of real dirt. So if you wash it off, you're doing an act that's separate, taking off the dirt, taking off the psolas from the ochel. That is clearly, psolas from mitoch ochel, that is aser. That's what the Chazon Ish passes. However, I can't leave you off with a gigantic chumra like that at the end of the whole series, right? Of course not. So, there's a sefer named, there's actually, in Kiryat Sefer, the Rav of Kiryat Sefer, his name is Rabbi Karp. Rabbi Karp, I think, he learned like this. He would hang out, he was the Rav of Kiryat Sefer. What happens if you're the Rav of Kiryat Sefer? So people are going to bug you all day, and you won't be able to learn. So he had this little moshav. How do I know this? Because my nephew went to high school, Nehorai, in Eretz Yisrael, Nehorai, he's on this tiny little moshav in the middle of nowhere. He had a little house there. And he stayed there 5 days a week, 6 days a week, in this little house, in this Neveh Shaver. There was nobody to even talk to other than the cows and the horses. at my nephew and his friends in yeshiva. And he would learn all week, and then he came back to Kiryat Sefer to be the Rav there on Shabbos. He knows everything, and his Sfarim, you can see, his 4-star on Hilchot Shabbos, called Hilchot Shabbat V'Shabbato, Shabbat V'Shabbato, Hilchot Shabbat V'Shabbato, and he has it on countless amount of Sfarim, and he has an incredible Bekiyah. So he has 4 different proofs that we can't say that washing off fruit is going to be us. And let's start with the first. There's when we talked about Hilchos Bishul last year, I don't remember if we talked about washing off certain very salty fish. That if you wash it in warm water, even in a cliche, we don't have to get the details, it's just the point you'll see in a minute. When you wash it off in warm water, it's considered Bishul, even if it's a cliche. It's the only thing that even a cliche will cook, it's this very salty fish. But it's clear that the problem is it's warm water. But if it would be cold water, it's explicit that you could wash off a very salty fish, like one of these super, super, super duper salty herrings. You could wash off the salt if it's cold water. It sounds explicit. How is the salt that you don't want any different than the pesticide? Or the dirt that you don't want? That's proof number one. Proof number two. There's a Gemara that says that on Yom Kippur afternoon, people have to eat Saturday, Motzei Yom Kippur, right? So if you start preparing your meal, Motzei Yom Kippur, you're not going to have food for 3 hours after the meal. You're allowed to do Knivat Hayerek, on Yom Kippur afternoon. What is Knivat Hayerek? Great question. All the Rishonim discuss it. Well, one of the opinions is washing vegetables. You're allowed to wash your vegetables on Yom Kippur afternoon, even though it's for Motzei Yom Kippur. Which means what? The only problem is that you're doing something on Yom Kippur afternoon for Motzei Yom Kippur. But no one's bothered by the fact that you're washing a vegetable. If washing a vegetable is bo'rer, so it's usher whether it's Yom Kippur or with the hachana, without hachana, it's just usher just to do. A second proof that you're allowed to wash a vegetable on Shabbos. A third halacha. We know that when you shecht an animal, there's blood in it. In order for the animal to meat to be kosher, not only has to be a kosher animal and a kosher shlita, but you have to get rid of the blood. One of the ways that you get rid of the blood is by soaking and salting it. Now, let's say it's Shabbos and you want to you're really, really hungry and you go wherever you went for lunch, they just didn't have what you like, and maybe they're vegetarian or something, heaven forbid, and you come back and you're starving. You need your flesh. There's a parv, can you imagine a parv shalom tashem yishma? A parv shalom, you come back, you say, come on, give me a break. You open up your fridge, all there is a raw steak. Okay? But raw steak is better than no meat, right? So you take out your raw steak, and it hasn't been we're not going to get into the details of soaking and salting, but you're going to rinse off, the halacha says, clearly it is mutter to rinse off the blood from that piece of steak, so you could eat it on Shabbos afternoon. That's proof number three, that you're allowed to rinse off the stuff that you don't want, that's coating, right? This blood, which is probably not even kosher, is no different than that pesticide or that dirt that's coating your vegetables. Source number four, you're allowed to peel fruit. You're allowed to get the garbage on the outside of the fruit off so you could have the fruit inside that you want. So here, I want to get that pesticide, that dirt off, and therefore Rabbi Karp brings 4 proofs against the Chazon Ish's Chumrah. But wait a second. We started off with an explicit mission that says you can't wash vegetables. The mission said you can't ein shorin es hakarshinim. You're not allowed to soak these grits, these grains. This is all coming to explain, or to be explained by Moshe Feinstein's explanation. What does it mean that you're not allowed to ein shorin es hakarshinim, you're not allowed to soak the grits? He says, you're not allowed to soak it, meaning immerse it in water. But rinsing it off in a stream of water is different. All the different cases that we saw that it was mutter, we're not talking at all about immersing your fruit in a tub of water. They were all talking about rinsing it off with a flow of water or under a pouring water. That's Knivas Hayarak on Yom Kippur, and that was rinsing off the meat, and that was rinsing or pouring the water on the salty fish, and peeling the fruit. Okay, you're not immersing it, because when you immerse something in the liquid, that's a derech of borer. When you just rinse it off, that's how people eat. And therefore, Moshe Feinstein says, that is the distinction. You are permitted, lechatchila, says Moshe, against the Chazon Ish. You are permitted to wash your vegetables and your fruit to get rid of the pesticides and to get rid of the dirt, as long as it's under the flowing water. However, you are not, according to all opinions, according to everybody, it is prohibited to immerse fruit or vegetables in liquid so that the psoles will float to the top or fall to the ground. And therefore, when you serve grapes, when you serve grapes and you want to wash grapes on Shabbos, so my wife could, yes, according to Moshe, she would be permitted to rinse off the grapes under the stream of water. But even though on the weekdays, sometimes we soak our grapes, or other vegetables, sometimes people soak, especially to get rid of bugs like strawberries, different issue. But to soak the vegetables on Shabbos, to soak the grapes, to put the grapes in a tub of water so that all the little stuff could float to the top, that would be aser, according to all opinions, and that will not be okay. So therefore, my wife, would it now, we could have our grapes as long as they're washed. And it is true, there is a different opinion. I told you the Chazon Ish is very machmir, who says you can't rinse anything. I told you Rav Moshe says as long as you're not soaking it, you're just rinsing it under flow of water, everything's mutter. There was one opinion who made a certain distinction, which we're not going to go into, and grapes happen to be the exception. And he said that grapes are a problem. Rav Vozner from Bnei Brak, very big posek. That's where I have seen that word, and that's why I told my wife, you know, just hold off till I finish the sugya. Baruch Hashem, now, for this coming week, we can, I think, rely on Rav Moshe, and we will be able to rinse off fruit in the water that flows, but not soaking them. Yes, question. Excellent question. Rav Moshe Feinstein points out that we know clearly from the posting that you're allowed to wash dishes. You're allowed to be madiach es hakelim. It says, what's the difference whether it's a dish or it's a fruit? Right. Okay, so looking is no problem, but if you find something, you're not going to be able to remove it. So you'd have to rip off a big piece of lettuce around it, throw out the leaf, rip off a big piece of lettuce around it, because if you would take off what you don't want, that would be taking off the psoles from the ochel. It might be muktzah also, but...
Wouldn't that be the same thing? I mean, you're not like eating with a bug on it. Wouldn't that be the same thing?
No, because the orange, you can't access the flesh of the orange unless you take off the peel, as opposed to you can access the rest of the bottom half of the lettuce leaf if there's a bug on the top half, so just eat the bottom half. I mean, the etzah would be just rip off a piece of the lettuce around surrounding the bug. Yeah. Yes. Great question. Can you take off the sticker from the fruit? After all, we said you can't take off the sticker from the challah, the angel sticker. So I think I do. Is it allowed? I think the post can talk about it. I don't remember what they say. So what, how come by the angel's tag? That's the question. It could be that it's not really so attached. I think it's okay. The question was, can you peel off the sticker, those little tiny stickers from the apples and the plums?
It's not like the challah, because that was like baked.
Challah is more attached, and this is less attached. I think it is mutter, because I think at the point of meeting, there's not a tarovas. They're not mixed. They're not smushed together. So I think it's okay. You could follow up with an email, but I think it's okay. I'm not giving my word for it, but I think it's okay. Yeah.
Two questions. That's an interesting question. Isn't the bug not a halachic separation bug? Meaning, like, you're separating for halachic
reasons. Yeah, well, we talked about filtering, and we said that you're removing something only for halachic purposes. That itself, there are those who are making when you remove something just for halachic purposes, but I don't know if we rely on that position in and of itself. When we talked about filtering, we have three other heterim to be mitzarif to make it mutter to filter water for if the only reason why you filter is halachic purposes.
Okay. And the second question is, what's it considered immersing?
Immersing
is it like just dunking something and taking it out, or leaving it
differently? I think both would be a problem. You should not dunk your grapes in water on Shabbos, nor should you leave them there. even if you're not letting them sit there. Again, certainly if you let them sit there, it's obviously a problem, but I don't see such a distinction. I'm sorry? To run the lettuce under the water is okay, is permitted. That's what Moshe Feinstein says. That's washing vegetables, right? That's washing vegetables. You're washing the gook off the vegetables. If you see a specific bug, then I don't know if you should just wash off that bug. You should probably rip off a piece of the lettuce with the bug. The reason why it's different than washing off dirt is that when you wash off dirt, that's sort of derech achil. That's just the way you eat. And you're not separating anything. It's derech achil. Everybody, Rashi also adds this point that everybody washes their fruits. You know, it's just derech achila. It's not the derech to eat romaine lettuce by taking off bugs first. That's separating. That's not how you eat. I mean, do you normally, when you eat, I don't know, what do you have for supper? Do you normally pick off the bugs first and then... Right, but that's a special thing that you're separating the bug because you don't want the bug. But that's not just how people eat. I suppose you rinse your vegetables because that's derech achila. Last question? That's a very good point. You're saying that when you take a sticker off a fruit and it's on a mushy pear, and when you peel it off, a piece of pear will come off. That probably would be a problem. Yeah, that's a very good point. That would be like like the angel sticker on the challah, as opposed to a fresh apple. If you're just taking the part where it's attached, that might be that's a good point. We'll have to think about this more about Hilchos. Thank you so much for bearing with us and for making it all the way till the end of Hilchos Borer. New topic next week. Bezus Hashem, we'll have to figure out what the topic will be. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening.